to do. And the same thing with you. So he provides seed to the sower. He gives us bread for food, and he multiplies the seed that is sowing and also increases the fruits of our righteousness. I believe when we get to glory, he's going to say, hey, thanks for sowing that. Thanks for being a blessing. Thanks for promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I needed you to do your job while you were on earth, and you did it. So thank God for that. So there's many ways that we can sow and give to Spirit Alive and to Faith City Church. There's a PayPal. You can go on to faithcitychurch.ca. And click on the PayPal button. You can go to e-transfer and email the church at faithcitychurch@tbaytel.net and provide a separate email address or a separate password so they can receive those funds. You can mail it to Faith City Church at 360 Black Bay Road, P7A1P5, or there's a mailbox at the front of the building. You can drop it off there. So thank God for the ability. I believe that we're going to do our confession. So let's all get ready to say this confession because we believe it. This is not only blessing us, but it's blessing the church. It's blessing the kingdom of God. It's blessing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's blessing the things of God throughout the whole earth, throughout Canada, Northwest Territories, and abroad. So let's all say this because we believe it. This is my seed. I sowed into the kingdom of God because I love God and I want to see Faith City Church and Spirit Alive continue to fulfill what God has called us to do. I believe that as I sow my seed, it shall be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it shall come back to me in many ways. I thank you, Lord, for good opportunities coming my way. Woohoo! I thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open unto me because of my obedience to sow my seed. I thank you, Lord, for favor of God upon my life and the grace to prosper as you promised me in your word. Amen. So that's what we say. We continually say that. Confession, we're continually believing God for you and your homes, for finances, for blessing. You know, this could be a time where sometimes people get away from God, but then there's other people we hear that are getting closer to God because of the more opportunity, the more time there is. So let that be an encouragement to you to seek God at this time because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes. God bless you. Well, Pastor?
Thank you very much, Pastor Ken. We want to thank everybody here across our city, across the region of Thunder Bay and the district of Thunder Bay, and also across all over Canada. And if you're watching from the United States, south of the border, we want to welcome you to Faith City Church in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And we appreciate all the information and all the hellos and all the nice comments you're making. We appreciate that here. It means so much to us. To hear from you, to say we enjoy the message and it helped me, it benefited me. And we'd like to hear from you again. So write us a note after the program or during the program. My wife is on live with me right now. She's getting all the information and you can converse with her. Tell her how much you love her and appreciate her. And I want to just send out a special greeting today. Someone who's been helping me for a number of years now, our editor, Varian Irwin, and he's doing live stream right now with me, and he's doing all the television production with me on Spirit Live across Canada. He's doing a tremendous job helping us, and we thank God. He's a real gift from God that God sent him to us. I was praying, went back there and asked God, the Lord, send me somebody who's going to be cooperative person that would easily flexible. And so, you know, we need flexible people in these days, and God sent us this wonderful gem, Varian. He's going to be... I can't believe he's getting old, but anyway, wish him a happy birthday as well. Go to his Facebook and let him know how much you appreciate him, how much you love him. It's been a great year. And you know what? I want to just really excuse myself because last week, Pastor Ken and Cindy celebrated their 24th wedding anniversary. And send them a wonderful gift as well. Get on their Facebook. Tell them how much you appreciate Pastor Ken and his wife, Cindy. They've been working with me for, maybe 15 years or so. And he came here just a young punk, and now he's old. And so we appreciate them and their family. They've been such a blessing to us. And let them know that you love them and appreciate them, because we sure love them here. And I thank God that God brought a good friend for me to be with me, to stand with me. in these times. You know, you need friends. And Pastor Ken, God sent him as a good friend of mine, and we share a lot of good memories together. And we've had disagreements, but we love each other, and we're able to rub each other the right way and sometimes the wrong way. We traveled for 5.5 years down the road to Geraldton every week, once a week, for 5.5 years. And we planted a church, and we have a good church there, good pastors, people who were on staff with us here, Pastor Bevan Glenn, and they're doing a great job. Just bought a brand new building in Geraldton. And I thank God for their work and their faithfulness. And I don't know if people appreciate them as much as we do, because I don't know if actually people in that area know how fantastic these people are and how much love they have. And you know what? I know if I didn't have a church, I'd be sitting under them, because they're pretty good people, man. I tell you, they're wonderful people. I thank my girls for joining me on the music today, and they're going to sing another song right after the program is over, so stick around. And they threw something together. My daughter was heading back to Toronto, and her and her friend there, they're musicians, and they had some liberty to move out of their place because something happened with one of the girls, so she had to move out. And so pray for them, believe God for them. You know, children ministry are a rare thing sometimes, because the devil gets at people and draws them away. And I thank God that the Lord brought my children back closer to me and my wife in the ministry. And so they're going to be singing some more new songs in the next little while, so watch out for them. They'll be on Spirit Alive TV as well. And I want to ask you also one thing. All my friends and partners, this is what I'd like to ask you. I need a few more. I need as much as I can, but right now just a few more. If you could just go to YouTube and apply for a YouTube account and become, become a subscriber to Faith City Church, or excuse me, Spirit Alive TV, because it's our program. And when we're on there, when we get enough subscribers, we'll have a URL to people can access us so easily. We've had this for a while. I've never worked on it, and now I feel like I need to do this. We might even change, go on this YouTube more and do more live programs. And we're doing a lot of changes and a lot of good changes. And so we bless you for doing that. Please go to YouTube and become a have an account, or if you have an account right now, go to Spirit Alive TV and become a subscriber. Press the subscribe button to Spirit Alive, and you can watch our programs anytime, and you want to show your friends, just go on there. I would say there's a lot of programs on there. Share it. By the way, we also have a lot of news letters that we have on our current SpiritAlive.org. You can go there on our TV website, and you can watch a whole lot of programs, but you also can watch or read articles, useful articles. You can use them. One preacher told me he's been using my articles to preach to his congregation, so just go ahead and do that. You're free to do that and access information. We want to get the Word of God out, and we're going to be changing our different systems. We're going to be having a new website. Both of our websites are going to be updated with helpful things, so look out for that. It's going to happen. Some good things are happening. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's go. And enough of the information. I would like you to go to your Bibles with me. And this morning, we are going to preach a message about living the life of faith. That's our topic area, the life of faith. And I entitled this message, Strong Faith for Tough Times. Strong Faith for Tough Times. And if you all go to Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm reading the King James Version. We'll read other versions as well. And I'm going to read the text, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll read it again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice it says, now faith is, Somebody said, if faith is not now, it's not faith. If you say, well, I hope I got something, then it's not faith. If you say, thank God I have it, then that's faith talking. And so faith is now. Faith is always in the present tense. So faith is the substance. In other words, faith is a substance. Faith takes place, takes the place of something you do not have yet. That's why you use faith. In fact, the word faith and the term, the word, are synonymous terms, or they mean the same thing. You could say this: now the word of God is the substance of things you hope for. That's why when we ask you something, you're going to pray for something, you go to the word, get the word first. That's the ground you're standing on to believe something. Now faith is the substance, or the word of God is the substance. In other words, the word of God takes the place of something you hope for in the future. And the evidence, in other words, if you don't have something now, your evidence that you have something is contained in the word. You say, the word is my evidence that I have my healing. The word is the evidence I have my prayers answered. The devil is going to charge you. He's going to come to you and attack you that you don't have your healing, that you don't have the money, you don't have this. No, you said, no, I have the substance. I have the evidence. What is it? It's the word of God. It's right here. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm healed. The word says I'm healed, and therefore I accept that, I receive it. Even when it's telling me I'm not, I stand with the word of God, and it will come to pass. Or I have my supplies. If you're low on supply, if you need something, money or whatever it is, you say, thank God, I have my needs met according to the word of God. Philippians 4:19, God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. You say this: thank God, I have my substance, I have my evidence, I have my needs met, because the word of God says he supplies all my needs. Or you can even read Psalm chapter 23. He says that the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, Jesus is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I have all that I want, all that I need. All my needs are met. Thank God in Jesus' name that you have an easement. That's just an example. So faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the word, the term not seen can be likened unto, or it can be compared to things that are invisible, things that are not there yet. So your faith or the word of God takes place of what's not presently visible to you. So you have to take the word to show you, we call it the eyes of faith, that you have what you've been praying for. Now let's go ahead and do my introduction. I just felt led to add a little extra reading that text. So some people need it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for all our viewers. We thank for every person that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened, that they may know the hope of their calling and the riches of your glory, of their inheritance as saints, and the exceeding riches of your glory that you have brought them, in the name of Jesus, that their hearts be open, their minds to be receptive to all that the word says, their hearts open and receptive, and that they'll be doers of the word, and remove every blind spot, that they'll see the word of God. And I pray, Lord God, that this preaching and teaching will be with the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will penetrate through the air wherever everybody is, because you're Jehovah Shammah, you're the God, the ever-present God, everywhere. You fill everything with yourself, and you're there, your presence is there. I call on the mighty Holy Spirit to reveal himself, reveal Jesus to them in Jesus' name, that healings, stretch forth your hand, might be accomplished through this time according to your word in Acts chapter 4 and 29. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing with me in prayer. You know, as people of faith, we have to make sure that our foundation for our faith is built properly. And I want to give you three basic things that you need to know about building the foundation. You need to know that every building standing must have a strong foundation, but also must be, that foundation must be standing on solid ground, solid rock. And the ground will be sturdy, the ground will be solid, that when the floods and rains come, it'll still stand. And it will keep this ground and this foundation of your house or ministry, if you're a minister, will stand no matter what hits, no matter what kind of circumstance of weather come to your life. Sickness, poverty, lack, depression, attack from the enemy. This will stand no matter what it is. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to go there, Matthew 7, verse 24, 25, we're going to read the rest as well, 26 and 27. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, Matthew 7, 24, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon a sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, it matters how you build your life. It matters how you're building life. You know, life is not just about material possession and just fancy clothes and nice hairstyles. Life is more than having a nice career. You know, what are you going to do after you you're working all your life, doing all kinds of things? Jesus talks about this, the Word of God, the apostles talk about it. It's not all about that. It's about building your life, not only naturally, but spiritually as well. And you have to be able to stand strong in tough times. So these are tough times, people. It's not going to get any easier, and you think this is going to be, this is a hard time, it's going to go away. I'm going to tell you something, and you might not like it, but there's going to be some tougher times ahead. And a lot of people think, oh, you know, things are going to go back. You know, nothing is never normal. Things are going to be tough. I told you several months ago, if you all remember this, several months ago, before it has ever hit, I said there's going to be tough times when people just went on their lives just like nothing's ever happened. You know, Sunday morning service, like nothing's ever going to happen. By the Holy Ghost, I've been teaching this for about a year. If you go back on it, that tough times are coming. And lots of folks, you know, they're just blind. They're sitting in the services, they're hearing messages, but they think their life is going to carry on just like how it's always been. That's what Jesus said about in the last days, that people are going to be marrying, there are going to be parties going on, they're going to be going to trips, they're going to be joining this and doing that, and planning this and planning that, but all of a sudden, you know, things happen. He says, just as the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah shall be like the last days when suddenly things hit. And so, I believe it's in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 there, or 1 Timothy, where it talks about in the last days, perilous times shall come, tough times are going to come. And so we're living in the last days. You know, Hebrews chapter 1, and verse 1 says this. It says that God spoke to us by the prophets. But in these days, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son Jesus. So Jesus is speaking, the Spirit of Jesus is speaking to us through the ministry of the Word of God. And we're ministers of the Word of God. And, I'm going to tell you something. Like some of the people don't believe me right now. They think it's all going to be good. And it is going to get, we're going to get over this. And sometimes it might seem like it's going to be normal, but there's other things going to happen. Like, we don't know how this is going to be, but how long this world is going to last or if these are last days, you know, and people are afraid they're going to be here during the tribulation, but I'm not going to be here in tribulation. I'm going to be gone. Jesus is going to take us. There's going to be something called the rapture, what they call, there's no word rapture in the Bible, but the word catching away is the same thing as rapture. Jesus is going to take away. The Bible says the beast will not be revealed until the church is gone. And so I don't believe that we'll be here But some other people will be who haven't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you got to make sure that you're born again and that you're going to go be with the catching away. The Bible says we're going to meet Jesus in the air. And I don't know how this is going to happen, but it said every eye will see. But, you know, it's funny. Years ago, we never thought that you could see somebody live right now on TV. I didn't think you could ever see, you know, that, you know, years ago we said, you know, one of these days we might be able to watch each other on our phones. And 30 years later, here we are watching and listening to each other on our phones 30 years later. Who'd ever thought of that? We're doing it. It's just in a few quick years this has happened. And I tell you, there's other things that are going to happen in a few quick years. And people think they're living life like it's going to be always the same. And we need to be ready. Build your life on a solid foundation, on the solid rock of God. And you will not be shaken. When things happen, nothing's going to shake you. You're not going to be afraid of running out of food. You're not going to be afraid of running out of job. You're not going to be afraid of getting sick. You're not going to be afraid of this and that. Now, all these things are important that we have, and we're getting our needs met. But you know, when time gets tough, you got to make sure who's in your corner when times are desperate, and make sure you're in the Jesus corner, because, you know, life's going to get tough. I'm going to have a drink, and the rest of you can just watch me and take your own drink there at home, wherever you are. We're going to cut this out on our editing. So, anyway, what is the message this morning? What are we trying to say? The message we're trying to say is strong faith is required for these tough times. And you better make sure that you have strong faith. What is strong faith we're going to talk about? Now, we said that we read over there that Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go over here to Moffat's translation, and we're laughing because right now Pastor Steve has set up in the sanctuary a bunch of puppets, a bunch of Muppets. So I will say, I'm going to read the Muppets translation for some of our viewers over here. And so my wife was talking to a Muppet the other day. It was kind of a funny looking, I think kind of devilish looking guy. I don't know who, it could have been Count or somebody. But she was fighting with him last week and had him cast out. But he's back again. I guess he must have got saved sitting in the front row. But I'm going to read the Moffat's translation, Moffatts. I think you can check Moffat's translation. It says there, Hebrews 11:1, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. That's Moffat's translation. Philip's translation reads it this way. Now, faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of the things we cannot see. And the Passion translation says this. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And of course, you know, the one we use quite a bit around here is Hebrews 11, one Amplified Bible. Now faith is assurance. Faith is the assurance. In other words, the word is the assurance. The confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. In other words, the word of God is the proof you have something, or that whatever you're asking for, make sure you got the word of God on it. That's what you stand on when things get tough. Things might look so adverse and so strong that you got the word there. You're standing on the word of God. And the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You know, we want sense knowledge. We want to feel. We want to see. We want to touch. We want to experience in the natural what we do not have yet. And if you're walking by that alone, if you're walking by senses alone, you'll get defeated every time. But if you stick in the Word, if you stick on the reality of the Word of God, the spiritual evidence, the spiritual knowledge, God gives us the Word. The Word of God is spiritual knowledge. The Word of God is the evidence. If you stick with the word when things look so bad that it tells you there's no hope, get to the word of God and you'll have your evidence, you'll have your foundation that nothing will shake you. And let's read the Hebrews 11, 1, the New Living Translation says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith does that. What is faith? Faith and the Word of God are synonymous terms in the Bible. Faith and the Word of God are synonymous terms. Because you can get faith only through what the Word says. Faith is built and based on the Word of God. Faith is built on or by the Scripture. Faith, that's why it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every example in the Bible where people got healed, they heard Jesus was a healer. They heard Jesus say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And they heard that and they responded to it and they received their healing. So if you're ever going to get something, you must hear what the Word of God says, not something that somebody else said that is off of the Word of God. So faith, we need to build the foundation. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it talks about six foundations for faith. And one of the foundations for your faith is faith in God. Everything that encompasses about God, believing in God, believing in everything about God, who He is, God. You know, I was thinking about this morning, Jesus said, this way you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He taught his disciples to pray. He didn't say repeat this over and over and over again. He just taught them, this is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? It means, doesn't mean you quote that over and over and over again, hoping something doesn't happen. No, He's telling them that you need to hallow His name. You need to know who Jesus is, know who God is. Hallow His name means holy is His name. Who is He to you? God. God, the Bible says, I was reading last night in Gideon, that Gideon built an altar to God and dedicated to God. He said, God is my peace. He is Jehovah Shalom in tough times. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider when you need something, like Abraham said. He's my provider. He provided an offering to God instead of my son Isaac. He provided a timely need in the time when I needed Him. So he's provider. When they came over from Israel into towards into the desert, and they're going out there, and they got into trouble and the physical trouble, and they needed healing. Jesus, the Bible says, God says, I am your healer. Exodus 15:26. I am your healer. Jehovah God, He's your healer. And when you worship God, you say, God, thank you. You are my healer. You're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You provide all my needs. I thank you, Lord God. You're Jehovah Shalom. You're my peace. Oh, I need peace right now. Thank you that you give me this peace, Jesus. Peace in my heart. Peace in my mind. I'm not confused anymore. I'm not stressed out anymore. Lord, I'm sick in my body. And the doctor said this, but Father, your word says, I'm Jehovah. You are Jehovah, my healer. Thank God for Jehovah being your healer. He's your healer. Thank God for that. You know, so we understand a foundation. So have a foundation of who God is and begin to understand that. That's a basic foundation about faith. And we need a quick reminder about in these tough times that we need to make sure to go back to the basics and that we aren't walking by faith. How do you know you're walking by faith? How do you know you're walking by faith right now? It's easy enough. I'm going to tell you really quickly how you feel. Well, you know, if you're a man of faith, you say, I don't care how I feel. I'm acting on the Word of God. You know, when people feel something, afraid or whatever, they start to act funny. So there's two ways you're going to tell if you're walking by faith. Number one is that your actions, the way you act, is positive. And it's always strong. You're never going to be weak and never going to be recoiled from from hard times, you're going to stand strong. So your actions tell you whether or not you're in faith. And number two is your words, how you're talking about stuff. How you know, if you're talking sickness and poverty and lack and fear, and that's not walking by faith. I'm going to show you this in the Bible. This is true. And so it's easy to slip back into the natural when tough times come. What am I talking about? What are you saying, slip back into the natural? I'm saying that, you know, when tough times come, it's easy to slip back into speaking negative, thinking negative. This is natural. This is when you walk in by sight. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. What do you mean walk by faith, not by sight? In other words, you could say it this way. We walk by the word of God and not by our senses or sense knowledge, evidence or sense knowledge. So when we're walking in this life, we're walking according to the principles of the Word of God, not according to what I think about it or somebody else thinks about it. We're walking by not whatever everybody else thinks about it. We're walking by what the Word of God says. Somebody says, what do you think about things? Well, I don't think anything about it. I think what the Word says about it. What do you think about this, the doctor says? Well, I'm going to stick positive. I know, sometimes the doctors, medical science can help you. The Bible even says that there's some sicknesses. The scripture says there's some diseases that cannot be healed by medical science. We need God. God's the one, he's the one behind medical science helping us in the first place. He's the one that gave us doctors and medicines and stuff and gives us knowledge about that. It's God that's behind all that. The devil's behind the disease. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, every sickness and every disease is a curse of the law. Sickness is a curse, not a blessing. But thank God, according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, I'm no longer sick. According to the word of God, I am healed. Even when you're sick, you need to say that. You need to believe that. If you don't believe that, you're going to die or you're going to stay sick. So I choose to side in with the word of God. Now, people's going to think you're crazy because no one walks like this way. People don't walk this way. It's not normal to walk this way. It's spiritual knowledge. They think you're nuts. They think you're crazy. But no, the word of God is true. You know, they say you believe in Jesus. You never saw Jesus. Well, Jesus was our Savior. Lots of people think we're crazy to believe in Jesus. And the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians that those who believe, there's the people who say the cross, believing in the cross is foolishness. But it's not foolishness. It's strong meat to believe in that. You know, 1 Peter, I believe it says that though you don't see him, you still believe in him. You've never saw him, but you still love him. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Can you say that this morning everywhere? Say, I love Jesus. Praise God. I love Jesus. You know, what do you mean loving Jesus? Loving Jesus means you obey his word. That's how you know you love Jesus. When I was just a kid, I think I must have been 8 years old. I was in school. Maybe the nun that was teaching us that day was a born-again Christian, but I certainly wasn't. I was just an 8-year-old boy. And she says, you know, we need to love God. We need to love Jesus. And I walked home. It took me about 15, 20 minutes to walk home from where I was, from my Suckle Creek to the point where the old school used to be. And I walked home that day, and that bothered me as a young boy. Imagine that. That convicted me as a young boy. And I asked God, I said, God, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. And I certainly don't love you, because I was equating loving with an emotion. Because, you know, in the natural, if you don't see somebody, you don't have that emotional attachment. But when you see them, you're there, you get emotionally attached to someone. That's why when somebody in an office works with a woman, even if they're not even saved, they could fall in love together because they're working together every day. That's how marriages fail. That's how, relationships happen in the office. Because you work with somebody every day. You're with that person more than you're with your husband or wife. And something happens. Feelings happen. See, as a kid, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know about being born again. See, I was walking by feelings, and lots of folks today is walking by feelings. When they have a tough time coming, they start walking by what they see. They're walking by what they heard on CNN, CBC. They're walking on what the experts have said to them, when maybe they're even lying. They got an agenda going. I have no idea. But certainly I don't believe everything I hear on television. I go by the Word of God. I stay with the Word. I know Brother Hagin used to say, if the whole world said this is, that healing is not true, I'm going to stay on this side with Jesus, that healing belongs to me. And he lived. He was healed as a 17-year-old boy, a Baptist boy preacher. He was healed on his deathbed at 17. The doctor said he had to die. He had an organic heart condition, blood sickness, deformity in his chest. They said he could not live beyond that time, and he lived. And on that bed, sick bed, the Lord revealed to him, Mark 11, 23, 24. He told the Lord before he was reading that, he said, Lord, I'm going to believe everything I read in the Bible that's coming to me that I know to do. And the Lord said to him, sick people are not in bed, because he saw that. I'm going to receive my healing right now. Mark 11, 23, I believe I received my healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I believe that I'm healed. And the Holy Spirit said to them, sick people don't stay in bed. He was paralyzed from his waist down. He couldn't walk. So he grabbed his leg and pushed it out on the side of the bed, and grabbed the side post of the bed and pulled himself up. And he said he got up. When his feet touched the floor, it's like a million thousand pricks on needles were touching his feet, because he's in bed all the time. He didn't have any feelings. Then he had this, he said it felt so bad that it felt so good, because he didn't have any feeling. Then he said from the top of his head, as he was trying to make his way and act on the Word of God, he said like a sweet honey oil was coming down his head and right down all through his entire body, and he was walking around in no time in that room. Praise God. And I believe this morning, my wife and I are praying that the power of Jesus, the anointing of God, is touching people right now, healing people, delivering people right now, in the name of Jesus. I pray, I've been asking God, and I heard the Word of the Lord say to me, there's going to be a move of healing, a demonstration of healing, and there's going to become a wave of a demonstration of the supernatural, miraculous power of God. That's happening. Hallelujah. It's happening right now. I heard this prophecy before, but the Lord began to tell me, there'll be a special move of God that's going to culminate and be bigger than all the miracles and signs and wonders, and what's been happening in these last days is going to culminate a big move of God. And I believe that's happening, and we're going to be part of that. And I believe the prophecy that's given to us, you know, some of us from our school, at least, we're going to take part in this. We believe this, that we're going to be a part of the last day moves of God in this day. In this hour, a powerful move of God is coming. I believe with all my heart. And somebody said, you know, First Nations people are going to be head and shoulder right above there, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm in it. Hallelujah. I'm part of that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm going to be teaching a message of faith all across Canada on Wednesday after 12 o'clock in this national conference. I've been invited to speak to ministers and pastors and church leaders and church people across Canada, and they asked me to preach a message of faith. If that's not a confirmation of what God called me to do across Canada, is to be a messenger of faith, a preacher of faith across Canada. The Lord said to me when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he said, I called you to preach the message of faith. And you know, it's like when nothing's happening, nothing seems to be happening. There, you know, you think nothing's happening, but God's doing something. You know, God's doing something right now for people. You don't think nothing's happening, but something's happening right now. God's at work in your life right now. The prayers that went up before you, God's changing things, arranging appointments, making divine appointments happening, and miracles are going to come in. Money is coming in. Hallelujah. I'm just excited about it. Things are going on, praise the Lord. Amen. Things are happening. You know, we're just not going to do a song and a short testimony. We're going to have a demonstration of power. We're going to have a demonstration of healing and a demonstration of the supernatural power of God. I believe that with all my heart. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it, because God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's easy, as mentioned, to slip back into the natural, and because you got trouble. It's easy to start complaining. It's easy to start saying negative things. Get into the Word and start talking positive. Stop talking negative things. Stop looking at negative. And my next point is this. What you look at moves you. What you focus on in life moves you. You know, you got to get your eyes focused properly. You know, some of you, you know, when you're taking pictures with your camera, you try to get that focus right so that you take good pictures. Well, you need to focus your eyes spiritually properly on what you should be watching, what you should be looking at. Now, you know, go ahead and watch Netflix, but don't let all that happen to you all day long. You know, some of you would read the Bible and listen to preachers like myself just as much as you do the Netflix, you'd be giants spiritually. You'd be giants. And some people, and I'm going to say some of you are, you're starving spiritually. You don't feed yourself. You don't read your Bible every day. You don't pray every day. You just pray, God, thank God, help God, help him out, Lord, bless him. You know, I'm going to read one scripture. And what if you did that with your eating? Forget to eat. You wouldn't be quite as fat. You wouldn't be quite as chunky. You wouldn't have those chunky cheeks like that. You know, my belt is getting real tight. I say, you know, my clothes is getting tight, but it's not my clothes getting tight. It's the guy on the inside. He's kind of stretched out. He's eating too much chicken. I got to stop Ernie from, he's eating too much chicken. And so I hope he's watching today. I love what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in the midst of a very threatening situation over here. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 22 and 24. What you look at moves you. You need to write that down on your Facebook status. What you look at moves you. What's moving you? You know, what you look at long enough, you become. What you look at long enough, that's why a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, this is not going to bother me. I'm going to watch this and look at this. No, you become what you watch. It's like you become what you eat. When you eat something, the body naturally tells you that, right? Okay, let's go here. It says here, Paul says, now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You see that in faith, not knowing. You don't always have the answer to everything you want to do right away. You just have that inclination that you got to go a certain direction. Somebody said to me, I just felt I had to give an offering today. I said, well, obey that. Somebody said, what if I make a mistake and give you $1,000, Pastor Roman? Well, you'll never make a mistake. Even if you did make a mistake and you got excited about it, God will still bless you and multiply you. Well, you might do without some couple of, $1,000 for a couple of few days, but the Lord will multiply that back to you. I remember one time I was in Winnipeg, just a young minister. And I got so excited. I first time heard the message of faith. A man of God says, "You know, I need several people to give $1,000 offering." And he preached real good. Anointing came all over me. Wow, this is great. You know, and I'm excited. You know, several hundred people there. And he said, "Who'll give $1,000?" My hand went up. I'll give $1,000. And I'm thinking in my head, "What am I doing?" Well, I gave $1,000. And my wife and I were there in Winnipeg. We have to drive home, and everybody settled down, meeting's over, and walking out to the cars in a dark parking lot, and I felt like, man, sitting in the car, man, they took me. They really took me. Got excited, gave away $1,000. Now I don't have any money to get home almost. And I felt that way. You feel that way. Sometimes that's how faith is. You feel like that, but you're not alone. You're obeying the Word of God, and God's going to change. Come around and change your situation around and make sure you have plenty enough. I learned my lesson. I felt bad. The Lord said to me, listen, son, anytime you thought you'd make a mistake, you do it in my name. If you do this in my name, I'm going to make it come back to you. And he's done it time and time and time again. People have given me money. Say, Pastor, sometimes somebody come over and see me. Here's a $5,000 just for you. Not for your ministry, just for you. Here's $1,000 for you. Here's $500 for you. Here's $100 for you. Why? Because I've done it. I took it out of my own pocket and gave it out. You say, I wish that happened to me. Well, somebody said, don't come by wishing. It comes by acting on the Word. Believe the word of God in tough times. Give even when it hurts. I've given when it hurts, man. I tell you, it hurt me all night long sometimes. Hallelujah. But I learned a valuable lesson. You know, I'm telling you something. Those of you, God will teach you about faith in the area of finances. If you can obey God in finances, man, you break the devil's back. He can't stop you because, money speaks. And he can't stop you. When money is an issue for you following God, you got a huge issue. Huge issue. I had to take less salary to go into ministry. My wife and I left our careers, totally careers, became a missionary right in my own city and had nothing, no income come in, no insurance, nothing. We came into work for the ministry, started planting a church, became a missionary in my own city right here in Canada, became a missionary. Now we have a church, we have property, we got television ministry. Well, how did that happen? It didn't happen overnight, a couple of 3 days. It came because we suffered with Jesus. We suffered and stayed when everybody else wanted to go. People say, "You're still there in Thunder Bay." Yes, I sure am, because God put me here. I ain't going anywhere. And they make you seem like it's the worst place to be. It's not the worst place to be. This is where I'm supposed to be, and God planted me here. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm preaching now. Now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. First of all, he didn't know where he's going. He didn't know what's going to happen to him. He's going to Jerusalem, but he didn't know where he's going into the kind of problem. He didn't know what kind of problems is coming. But the Holy Spirit says, "You're going to go. I want you to go to Jerusalem, but you're going to have a whole lot of trouble going that direction." Now, some of you heard that, you just took off, went the other direction. Some of you said, "Well, go join Pastor Roma, but you might have some trouble." But you came halfway and left. It didn't come back. You need to obey God. And some of you got a lot of trouble because you never obeyed God. I've heard people didn't obey God. They didn't live long because they didn't follow God. And the devil got a hold of them with sickness and disease. And now they're not here. And now they're suffering. I've heard people who didn't obey God. They're supposed to go and join up somewhere. Didn't go. And they ran into all kinds of trouble. The Bible says the best place to be is in the shelter of the Most High God, in the perfect will of God. And God has this perfect will on you. And if you veer off into the acceptable will of God, you can get into trouble. Now, it's not against God, but it's not God's perfect will. Get out of the perfect will of God into something else. And their kids got into trouble. Their finances got into trouble. Their physical health started to have trouble. They had mental health issues and emotional discomforts and problems. And as soon as they got back into the kingdom of God, things started to change for them. Not saying that you're not going to have any trouble walking by faith. Faith is to help you get through the trouble in a better way. Bonds and afflictions abide me. Now you're going to obey God in tough times, bonds and afflictions? Sure, sure. But none of these things move me. So what's going to move you, Paul, and everybody else? Neither I count my life dear to myself. You want to just, I just want to have this little picket fence home. If I go to church, I have to quit hockey. I'll have to quit this. I have to quit that. Well, listen. If God talked to you, God talked to me. People used to wonder why I didn't play that much hockey. I was. When I didn't play, I wasn't as good as the other guys because they're in shape, and I'm not in shape. I go once a week, once a month. And the Lord said to me, I want you to quit. It was hard for me to quit, but if I eventually quit, of course, age catches up to you. But I quit because the Lord told me to dedicate your life to the Word of God. And so eventually I quit, and I thank God I quit, and got into the will of God. But none of these things move me, he says. That I might finish my course with joy in the ministry. In other words, there is a perfect will of God, there's a plan of God, and then there's a ministry for you. You need to serve God. Not only you should get into the perfect will of God in these tough times, you need to get into the ministry that God has given you. God has called you to serve somewhere, to serve Jesus, not serve yourself. A lot of people think, "Well, I'm good. I'm a good Christian. I'll just stay at home." No, you're not. You need to get into work with people. Learn how to get along with people. Don't be afraid of people. Don't fight with people. Just learn how to get along. And stop being so suspicious and critical of people, and be nice. And that's what people need to hear these days. Be nice to people. You know, sometimes people come here, they say different things, and they criticize, and they don't know what it's like working in ministry because they just don't stick around enough. They're afraid of people. They attack you and stuff. So stick around. Hard times come to everybody, every one of us. But don't let the devil lie to you and tell you everybody's against you and that the church is against you. You know, the devil attacks people's minds saying that the church, there's something wrong with the church, so they don't go to the church. And they keep them out of the church. There's something wrong with that thinking. We need to walk by faith, and God tells us that if we're going to obtain the promises of God, we're going to walk according to the Word of God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, the God's Word translation said this, that through faith, they conquered kingdoms, they did what God approved, and received what God had promised. They shut the lion's mouth. All by faith. You could say it this way. Through faith, they receive what God promised. The only way you're going to receive what God promises in the Bible is to live by faith. In other words, you don't walk by circumstances. You don't walk by bad times. You don't quit because bad times come. You don't follow God because, you know, it's too much pressure on you. No. You follow God. You do what God says because the Word says it. The Bible says, Jesus said, when you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus said, you build a strong foundation if you build your life on the Word of God. You need strong faith in these tough times, folks. God actually commands us, we see here three times, to live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's a command of God. He said, I don't have any pleasure in somebody quitting, getting off halfway. If you quit the faith life, it'll be like you've never were on it. Pick up where you left off. I'm going to say it again. If you quit halfway, two-thirds of the way in this faith life and just make a shipwreck out of it, it's like you've never been on that road. Stay on the road of faith, the faith life. Have strong faith. Build strong faith. Build a strong foundation when it's easy to build it. It's hard building strong faith while you're sick in the hospital, laid up, trying to build faith for your for your healing. No, build strong faith of healing when you're healthy. Start reading scriptures when you're healthy. So that, you know, if something happens, you'll have enough faith for yourself and some for your family. You know, see, people, they're asking people to pray for them all the time on Facebook. Yeah, it's okay to pray for people, but it's not a way of life. The only time you pray for people is when there's an attack on the church. I'm not supposed to pray for your personal needs. That's your job to pray for your personal needs. Like, we need to pray for people who are sick sometimes because they don't have enough faith. We can lay our hands and pray for them and speak faith over them over the air. But most of the time, we need to pray for ourselves. Now, listen, we're going to pray for everybody. We're going to believe for everybody. But the best thing for you, the best plan for you is to learn this yourself. So you don't have to be dependent on everybody. You can join with us praying for everybody else that needs it. The unbeliever, the guy that's a baby Christian coming in, that's who we pray for. Not old Joe's been in the church for 65 years. He don't know how to pray for himself. No. He ought to be praying for somebody else. We need to grow up, church. Tough times are coming. Hallelujah. Now, there's another scripture. Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live by faith. And then there's another scripture. And Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Those three scriptures say the same thing. That's from the book of Habakkuk says that. And then we see 2 Corinthians 5:7, I believe it is, it says in there, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, faith and good works is wonderful. Love is wonderful. Hope is wonderful. But it doesn't say, you know, without hope, it's difficult, impossible to please God. It said, without love, It's impossible to believe. No, it says, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. We need to believe God. Develop a strong foundation of faith. I want to give you this last illustration here. There's a man by the name of Abraham. He's called the father of faith. You know, the Bible says he's the father of faith. All of us that are in the Christian foundation right now, we have a man who showed us faith. And his name is Abraham. God showed, used him as an illustration, as an example of walking by faith. And we read about him in the Old Testament, in Genesis, and he's in the New Testament over there in Hebrews, talks about it, and Romans, talks about Abraham, and Galatians and so forth, and in the New Testament, talks about Abraham as a father of faith. He's the father, granddaddy of faith. You know, I said under modern faith, man of God, the modern faith, father of the modern faith foundation, his name is Dr. Kenneth Hagin. We sat under him. The Lord spoke to me. Supernaturally, I was praying in my den before lunchtime in 1989, and the Lord, 98, excuse me, the Lord spoke to me. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, I heard the word of the Lord coming this way, saying to me, go to Rhema and sit under Brother Hagin, and I put that same spirit of faith that's on him, on you, by association and by mentorship and so on. And I heard that and spoke to my wife, so we left. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any money saved up. But the word of the Lord spoke to me. I didn't have any money to make. The church didn't have any money to send me. But we went by faith, and God gave me. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, it says that Abraham went not knowing where he's going. So I went not knowing where I was going. But it's a strong foundation for faith. And so we left without any money with two little girls, took our little car, and we went down south, had no money. Well, see, how you can do that? Well, you do it by faith, if you're in faith. I'm not telling you to do this. Don't do this if you never heard from God. Don't do it. But if you heard from God, you do it, if you understand faith. Thank God we understood faith, and I mean, we cried every day. We were there in Bible school, just crying every day. The anointing of God was touching us every single day. My wife is crying every day. We had troubles in ministry. God healed our hearts from all the hard times we had in ministry. And you know, when I first went, I said, I ain't coming back to Thunder Bay. These people don't deserve me. I had a hard time here. I don't want to be here. But God healed my heart and brought me back here. And I knew if I had intentions of coming back. But you know, when you're in between spaces, you kind of like, I don't want to go back. So, but the Lord brought me back and told me, he told me to pray every day. I was in one area, pray every day. I prayed 45 minutes, 40 minutes every day. I'd pray in tongues. And out of my spirit came an interpretation. When you go back home, you're going to start to plant a brand new church in the year 2000, and you can call it Faith City Church. You plant a brand new ministry. It's going to call it Faith City Church. It's a brand new season. So we've been here 20 years. This spring and summer is our 20th year. We planted Faith City Church, a brand new season. Hallelujah. Praise God. And other faith people came. Pastor Ken and Sydney came. Glory to God. And Pastor Steve and Kendra came, and they brought their little children. They brought their children, grew up in this church and grew up here. I pray that every one of them will stay. They're not going to go back. They're not going to the world. They're not going to serve other churches in ministry. They're going to stay right here, and they're going to help us in the ministry. Little Timmy's coming. There's a little girl coming. The Huskies have a little girl coming. We're claiming that one in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to have children another way. Praise God. Now, let's read this. Hebrews 11:6 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should go after, receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out not knowing where he went. According to Romans 17, it says that he acted like God, and he called those things which be not as though they were. The Bible says, we're children of God. We should act like God, talk like God, be like God. Well, we're not gods, but we're his children. We should act like God. We should call those things which be not as though they were. The Bible said, Romans 4:17, like unto him, or like unto God, just like God, that Abraham called those things which be not as though they were. You need to start being like Abraham, your father of faith. He called himself a father of nations when he couldn't have children. When his wife was old, he was old, couldn't have children. But he called it like God said it, not the way it was. Don't call things the way it is right now. Don't call yourself poor. Don't call yourself weak. Don't call yourself sick. Don't call yourself a loser. It's not cool to call yourself loser. Even if other people think you're a winner, you know, people say, I'm a loser. No, you're not. If you're born again, you're a winner. Jesus didn't make any losers. God didn't make losers. I know tough times are upon us, but you don't have to act like it. Act like you got everything made, praise God. Amen. I'm a faith pastor. I'm a faith preacher. You know, I don't have everything I in my palms of my hand, but I'm believing God. It's coming in. The money's coming in to do the ministry. We're going to build in this property. There's going to be other buildings on this property. We're going to have people come internationally, come to the Bible school. Different things happening, treatment center. I mean, we're going to have stuff on this property doing something. You say, well, you're a dreamer. Yes, it's better to be a dreamer than nothing at all. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go over here. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. He says, before him whom he believed, even God. In other words, Abraham acted like God. He says, just like unto God, Abraham said this, God calls those things which be not as though they were. The Bible says that Abraham called those things which be not as though they were. We have to start saying in tough times what we want in our lives. According to the word of God, I am healed. According to the word of God, this will pass. According to the word of God, things are changing around here. According to the word of God, when things are demonstratively different than what you're believing God for, when everything in your natural sense is telling you you don't have what you want, what you actually desire. You said when tough times come, having strong faith, building a strong foundation now, learning your lessons while there's no storm is the best thing in your life. It's hard learning something, trying to get healed when you're absolutely sick. When you got no money, it's better to sow now when your good times are there. Start sowing money now. Start sowing $5 or $10 now when the trouble is not there. But there's a time when you have a big trial. Like I've had big trials, didn't understand this, but I had to sow everything I had when I didn't have anything. That's the toughest place to be. I like sowing, the Bible says, you know, sowing little now, sow here, sow there. Never know what's going to come ahead. Things are coming up. Glory to God. Money's coming in because we've been giving out and giving out. I make sure, don't ever let a service go by where there's an opportunity to give. The Bible said we should give because we hear the good word of God. Now, we'll go over here. It goes on to say, as we finish off this lesson here, it goes on to say in Romans 4:20, that Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God. Through unbelief. You know, when you're unbelieving, you're staggering. You're in one area and out in another area. Through unbelief. What is unbelief? Unbelief is staggering. You're in and out. It says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in a tough time, Abraham obeyed God. By faith, he obeyed God. He went to the Word. And you know, you just have to obey. Just say, this is the word of God. I'm going to obey the word of God no matter what. Your feelings are going to come against you. Your mind is going to come against you. Circumstance is going to tell you. Even people might tell you. I've had people tell me certain things. I remember when the Lord called me to go to Rhema, I asked some of my friends, some of my ministry friends, close friends. They know me. They're my closest friends in ministry, I asked. They said, no, I wouldn't go to Rhema. It's an overblown, overrated church, overrated ministry, overrated Bible school. I wouldn't go there. But I heard in my heart by the Holy Spirit to go. And you know, you need to obey God in your heart and start obeying God. Have strong faith in troubled times. You know, well, how do you do that? Well, number one, you feed on the Word of God daily. 1 Peter 2. It talks about it there. We eat the milk of the Word. We get feed on the Word of God, and we eat the Word. And then you act on the Word, secondly. You eat the Word. Don't just eat, but exercise. What do you mean exercise? Speak it. Act on what you can. Act where you can on the Word. And you'll have a strong foundation for your faith. This will have to be part two another time, how to act on, how to grow spiritually, how to grow strong faith. I hope you're believing God with me in the name of Jesus. We're believing God in this ministry for more Spirit Alive partners. If you're not a partner with Spirit Alive, our television ministry is going across Canada, and we want you to be a partner. I would like you to partner with me. We want to get on more television stations. We need more people to work with us, more professional people to work with us. We need people to help us take this television ministry to a different level. We want to do more across Canada. We want to ask people to come in and help us out. If you're out there, you're not a partner of Spirit of Life, I'm going to ask you to join in to be a partner of Spirit of Life. Partner with us to reach more people. Bring your seed, financial seed. Bring your skill. If you can help us out on site here in Thunder Bay, come on in. We want you to help us. We need editors, camera people. We need people who could do different things for our different Facebook pages and so on. Our different publications and stuff like that. We need people to help us with different things that we have to do for television. We need musicians and singers. We need different ones to help us get on the television, sing songs and put it on. We're going to put television from now on. We're going to put music on our TV program on Spirit Alive. Have a guest. Hopefully you can have a guest every week. Hallelujah. Come on in. We want to use you. And we want you to use your faith in prayer. We want you to pray for us every day or every time you think about it. And pray and bless us and say, God bless Pastor Roma. Help him. Help them to be safe and help them to be free from criticism and evil men and evil people. Pray that we will be healthy and strong. Thank God. And I believe you're going to be a partner. I believe many of you will be a partner. And I want you to remind you to go to YouTube and get an account. Or if you have an account, go to Spirit of Life TV and select subscribe and become a YouTube partner with me as well. And it doesn't cost you anything. And you can download our stuff or maybe our music when it comes in and begin to watch any kind of program you want, anytime, anywhere you are, and download a program and watch that over and over again if it blesses you. We love every one of you. We bless you. We pray for all our partners and friends regularly. I pray for you regularly. I pray for you when I'm walking. I take 40, 50-minute walks, and I pray for every...